Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
May the Lord speak to our hearts this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, amen. All right. Last week, we spoke about a verse that St. Paul spoke about in which he identified himself as the worst of sinners. St. Paul, the man who changed the whole world, said that he is the worst of sinners. And it's not because he was killing Christians because he didn't say it in the past, but he said it in the present tense, knowing this is the man that converted the whole world. He suffered so much for Christ. But yeah, he identified himself as the chief of sinners. And how we talked about how this is a goal for us to have. But I want us to understand it in the right light, because you see, are we going to all be running around depressed and beating ourselves up and acting like we are the worst people? So I'm going to now put it into like a more healthy light. Okay, I'm going to explain what it means. You know, often when you read, especially in Orthodox spirituality, we're always telling people that you should not love yourself, right? You shouldn't have self-love, and that you should deny yourself, and that you should always kind of acknowledge that I am a sinner. You say, okay, but then for so many people deal with this challenge of low self-esteem. That we spoke last time that you were made in the image of God, that when God sees you, even though you're a sinner, and even though we said we are the worst of sinners, I am the worst of sinners, that even though you are the worst of sinners, God, when He looks at you, He doesn't see you, He sees what? Himself. God sees Himself, because He made you with His image. So God can never reject His image, and God wants you to understand that. So though we acknowledge that I am the chief of sinners, why? We said this last week. I don't know anyone else's circumstances. I don't know the repentance in their hearts. Only God knows that. But what I do know is I know myself. And I know, we talked about this last week, I know that there is no excuse for me in my sins. This person does that sin, and this person does this sin, but all I know is, I know my sins, and I know that so many of them are without excuse. Now we want to understand, what is low self-esteem? What is low self-esteem? I looked it up. It says, the negative way we think about ourselves and the value we place on ourselves. Again, so many people, and you can tell it as you interact with them, that they have a low self-esteem. They don't value themselves. And so, because they don't value themselves, sometimes they beat themselves up a lot. They admit that they are, you know, they have problems, that they're weak, or that they're not good at stuff, and they beat themselves up all the time. That's one side of low self-esteem. But believe it or not, a lot of people show off when they have a low self-esteem because they're so insecure about themselves. They don't love themselves enough. And so they already think of themselves in a bad light, that sometimes they use some energy to point out something good in themselves. So I don't think of myself as a good father or as a good husband, and I know that I'm not good at it, but at least I'm a good engineer, and I talk about me being an engineer, and I'm always trying to pump myself up, because I hate to admit that I hate myself. I want you to understand something, that low self-esteem is not humility. And that's what we're going to talk about. Low self-esteem, saying that I am, you know, that I have all of these problems, and that I'm not good, and that I'm not worthy of people's love. You know how many people actually don't believe that they're worth people's love? It breaks my heart when young children tell me this. When young children don't think that they are worthy of being loved. You know why? Because they live in a house that is always telling them something that they are not doing. That you would be so much better if you did this. And when you do this, then you will have achieved. And it's all of this like talk that a child can never find their value. Can you imagine that you maybe see it in your own homes? That your kid walks around and doesn't believe in themselves. And of course, no parent wants to do that. Every parent means well for their child. But indirectly, you are implanting in your children low self-esteem because you're comparing. You're talking about people in a positive light of things that your kids don't have. You know, if your kid is not athletic, but you're always saying, man, them Gurgis boys are always out playing soccer and they're always playing basketball and you're always, well, we don't play basketball or soccer and we're not good at that. And so what do? It's not that I'm putting you down, but I'm always highlighting something else. Now, maybe if you're a parent, you're thinking about your children right now, but at one point you were a child and you've developed this low self-esteem. And believe it or not, if you talk about yourself a lot, chances are, I know it sounds funny, you have low self-esteem. If you talk about yourself a lot, chances are you have a low self-esteem. We're going to get into this concept. Something I want you to understand, that low self-esteem is very paralyzing. It's very paralyzing. It keeps you from achieving great things. So many people, you know, in the ministry, we ask people, go and I need you in the service. I want you to serve, you know, maybe college youth or high school. I want you to help out. You know, I can't do that, Abuna. How do you know? Abuna, I just can't do it. Like, don't put me in this position. Like I'm just fine in my little shell. The devil's telling you can't do it. Devil's telling you, you know why? Believe it or not, the devil knows your potential more than you know your potential. He's been watching you since a baby. He's been looking at you since you were a little girl, and he says, oh my gosh, this girl's so good at that. The devil knows. And so he spends your whole life telling you, you are not this. Because if you discover it, if you discover who you are, and how God sees you, and how God made you. Say, Abuna, like, okay, I know you're talking to that guy or this girl, but not me. I'm so far behind, Lord. No. The devil is crippling the church. The devil is telling us, no, not you. You will never be that person. And you... who are you to stand and talk to people? Who are you to stand and help people in need? Who are you to represent the church? Who are you to sing? Who are you to... whatever it is that God wants to use you in, and the devil's telling you, no, don't do that. You know why? Because once you discover the potential that God has in you, that's it. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed in your life, no one can stop you. St. Moses the Strong. I wonder, he's a great sinner. He was a thief. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a terrible person. And then he repented and he lived with a community of monks. Of such are St. Macarius the Great. And you're like, I wonder what St. Moses the Strong thought of himself when he was around the great saints. What am I doing with these holy people? What am I doing with these saintly people? What am I doing with Saint Arsenius who doesn't speak? And Saint Moses, when he could understand who he was in Christ and who he was meant to be, we name our churches after him. We name our children after him. Whenever we preach about great saints, we preach about Saint Moses, who lived a sinful life and changed his life and became the father of 500 monks. Because you know why? Devil couldn't trick him. When he discovered Christ, he knew he was. And we're going to talk about this balance between low self-esteem and an unhealthy humility, like that's not healthy humility, and pride and arrogance and overconfidence in ourselves. I'll tell you, a person that hates themselves will nearly always take that hatred on other people. Somebody that hates themselves is going to want you to hate yourself, because they cannot stand being around people that are better than them. And so people that hate themselves start to create havoc and problems in the lives of the people around them, in their families. And maybe that is you. Maybe you are the toxic person in your relationships or in your marriage or in your family. Chances are it's because you don't love yourself in a healthy way. You don't know who you are in Christ. And so you are the problem. Yes, you are the problem. But we're not going to beat ourselves up. We're going to say, who am I supposed to be in Christ? I'll tell you, self-hatred really acts out as hatred on others. And when I can value myself, I can value others. I know people with poor self-worth will make the world suffer for it. If you have a low self-worth, you're going to make everyone else suffer for it. Your kids have to have low self-worth. Your wife will always be criticized. Your husband will be criticized. Your boss will be criticized. Your coworkers will be, your neighbor will be criticized. Everyone is criticized. You know why? Because I hate seeing anyone better than me. Why? Not because I'm proud, but because I hate myself. If you are in this position, God loves you. God sees your value. Devil just messed up your way of thinking. Devil made you see yourself in this dark light because he doesn't want you to see who you are. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you. This is David's prayers. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So you see, David could say, I praise you because I was made with wonder. That God made me wonderfully. Not because I am so great, but because God is so great. And God does not make anything that is not great. And God does not make a person with no value. And God does not make anybody that doesn't have sky is the limit potential. You have to understand this. That when you read about the great people of the Bible, who's Peter in the Bible? He's a fisherman. Like, you're going to be one of the apostles? Who's Matthew, the tax collector? Everybody hates him. The Jews hate him because he's charging them taxes. And the Romans hate him because he's stealing from his people. And he's a Jew. But God looked at Matthew and said, hey, you over there, follow me. He looks around. Are you talking to me? Nobody sees anything good in me. Nobody sees anything good in me. Well, Jesus does. Jesus does. I want you to know something. The devil rejoices two times. He rejoices when he gets you to believe this lie. And then he rejoices when you create havoc everywhere else in your relationships because of your ill-placed shame. Consider the person that is totally unaware of what they're truly capable of achieving. Held back by her low self-esteem. I had a young woman recently come to me and said, Abuna, you know, she's always coming to me. She's in the worst relationships. Broken relationships. And she chooses the worst people. I mean, she always ends up getting abused or robbed or beaten or abandoned. Just like the worst people. And I keep telling her, why are you doing this to yourself? You're a beautiful young lady. You have so much to like look forward to. She says, Abuna, I'm garbage. I began to cry. I said, you're not garbage. Who told you you're garbage? She said, Abuna, you know everything. Even my father confession since I was a teenager, you know everything. You are not the totality of your sins. You are not the sum of your sins. You are something completely different. Yes, you have some distortion. You have some messed up parts inside of you, but that is not who you are, and that is not who God created. This girl's telling me, Abuna, I'm garbage, so I have to marry garbage. I said, never say that. I said, you are the most beautiful. I've seen so much good in you throughout your life. I've seen so much beauty in you. Don't ever let your weakness and your life circumstances and the terrible choices that you've made because of your life circumstances tell you who you are. Other people say shameful things and pitiful things to everybody and anyone. Why? Because they just know they don't have any self-respect because they don't believe in themselves. Maybe nobody ever believed in them. And so they just are shameful people. There is a difference between self-esteem and pride. You see, people with low self-esteem, I said this earlier, who they hate themselves with nearly always take that hatred out on other people. Low self-esteem robs us of our potential. I want to think about the Samaritan woman. Today is actually the Samaritan woman Sunday, but because we celebrate the Feast of the Cross, we didn't read those readings. But today is the week in which we celebrate the Samaritan woman. A woman who has five husbands, who has had five husbands, and the man that she's living with is not her husband. In a Middle Eastern Jewish society, this woman is a bad woman. And so she goes to the well at noontime every day because she doesn't want to see anybody. Going to draw water, full of shame. So let me go at the hottest time of the day. I know I won't run into anyone there. And she goes, knowing that she is, unfortunately, garbage. She's garbage and everybody knows it. And so she's going, trying to avoid everyone, low self-esteem. And Jesus, Bible says he needed to go through Samaria. Because Jews never dealt with Samaritans, so they would usually go around Samaria because they would never want to interact with a Samaritan because these people were not real Jews. They were corrupt, messed up, defiled Jews. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And so he went through Samaria and he meets the woman at the well. And he begins to talk to her. And he says, hey lady, give me something to drink. She says, how are you, a Jewish man, talking to me, a Samaritan woman? You know that we don't deal with each other. And he says, if you knew who it was that was asking you, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. You're saying, why would you want to give me living water? Find some other good lady out there. Look, I don't want to talk to you, man. Like, you don't know my life. You don't know who I am. You don't know the sins that I've committed. You don't know where I'm coming from. Stop talking to me. And Jesus says, but you're thirsty, and I have something to give you. You're so thirsty. You say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I don't deserve anything. But Jesus says, I want to give you. After a long conversation, Jesus begins to tell her, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. He says, you are right. Good for you. You're honest. Look at Jesus. A woman who is nothing, and in society, she is garbage. And Jesus says, no, you tell the truth. You are a truth teller. Good for you, lady. Begins to speak to her and says, I want to not just give you something to drink. I'm going to make you a fountain. And everyone who meets you is going to come and drink from you. You're like, what does that mean? What are you trying to say about me? He says, no. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean it in that way. I mean that people are going to come to find healing from you. Me? This terrible woman? When Jesus began to show her who she was and who she is because God has chosen her, because God loves her, because she is who she is because of who God is, at that interaction with Christ and that encounter, she went, no low self-esteem from that point. She went to the Samaritans and said, guys, let me tell you about a man who told me everything that I've ever done. You're like, hey, lady, aren't you embarrassed of yourself? You're out talking to the people that you've been avoiding at the well. She says, no, I'm not. I don't have low self-esteem anymore. I'm not rejected. The only thing that matters is that my value comes from God who loves me. And she changed all of the Samaritans. I can't tell you how many times God has used this passage. You know, I've been on missions all over the world. And I go preach the gospel to Muslims and to people all over the world. This story of this woman, I've seen it with my own eyes convert people on the spot. Convert people on this lady who is garbage in the eyes of society is changing the whole world just from my personal experience. God knows how many other millions have changed just from this woman's story. You are not the sum of your brokenness. But we do need to understand ourselves. We need to understand what is self-acceptance. What does it mean to accept yourself? I'm a little bit weird. It's okay. You can accept yourself for being weird. I'm short. Okay. You can accept. These are things that you can accept. Like, I should accept myself. You know, there's things that I can't control. I accept myself. But should I accept myself for being a manipulator? No, you can't accept that. Should I accept myself for being toxic and hurting others? Of course not. Should I accept all of the dark things? So we need to have a balance between accepting who I am in Christ and things in me that need change. There are things in you. Don't beat yourself up. No one is perfect. Nobody has everything, but there's things in you that you need to change. And that's what you need to work on in acceptance. Metropolitan Anthony of Sirius says this: accept yourself as a stone given to a sculptor. Accept how you are and that you need work to reveal the statue, what you truly can be. So accept that you are a stone and your potential is that you could be a beautiful sculpture. I'm actually telling you, accept yourself as a stone that you can become. This is not a sermon part. I'm talking to you. Every single one of you. I'm looking at your eyes individually. Accept that you are a stone and God can make you a beautiful sculpture. But at the same time, accept that as this stone has things that are in the way, things need to be just chipped away. And let God chip these things away. It's okay. That's not low self-esteem to say, I have issues that I need to work on. Sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes I'm stubborn. Accept that you must give yourself to God's sculpting. Some things and you need to be refined, while other things need to be worked out to show the real, genuine you. So it is okay to look at yourself and say, I'm not good at this, and I'm okay with that. But it's not okay to say that you are garbage, or that you're worthless, and that you have no potential, and that God can't change the whole world through you. I'll tell you, there are people that stick out as like I am not the person that should have been chosen to be. If you mean my brother was like, when he was younger, he was very quiet, he used to always read the books, he was like a monk. Everywhere he went, he was like a monk. I was the shy, younger, naughtier, you know, younger brother. This is not the guy that they're going to nominate for the priesthood. I'm not that guy. My brother was that guy. And things have just switched. Somebody made a mistake. Somebody fooled Pope Shenouda. I don't know how it happened. But somehow I got under his hand. They ordained me. And now you guys are stuck with me. But I'll tell you. Not because I wasn't great. But because God was going to make a sculpture. He was going to use me in however he wanted to use me. He was going to shape and work in my life. And the same thing he wants to do to you. And I want you to understand the opposite. Vainglory. So there is self-esteem, and the difference is vainglory. Vainglory is the desire for and delight in praise and reputation. that I want people to praise me, to say, oh, look, this person is famous, or this person's so good at being a doctor or an artist or a musician. Like, I'm seeking praise. That is not self-esteem. Self-esteem is knowing your value, that you inherently have value. But vainglory is a sin. There's a story in the gospel of a Pharisee in a temple with a tax collector praying in the corner of the temple, beating his chest, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. What does the Pharisee pray? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This person has vainglory, not self-esteem. This person has seen themselves outside of God's value, outside of God's working in them. I am this. I always tell this to, you know, people tell me that, you know, they're asking for advice when I struggle with pride. You know, maybe I have a good singing voice. And so people always compliment me. I said, did you ever do anything to get this voice? Did you like go train your voice to be like this? You woke up one morning, you were singing, and you realized, hey, I actually have a good voice. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't train for it. You know, somebody who can speak, I didn't go to speaking lessons. God gives gifts. Everybody has their thing, okay? Everybody has to be able to see these things. What are you so proud of? Oh, but I did this, and I... No, no, no. Self-esteem is to say that God, in His love and in His glory, has done great things for my life. So sometimes when you read the Desert Fathers, they talk about how self-esteem is bad, but what they're not talking about is self-esteem. They're talking about vainglory. That's the translation of self-esteem. Listen to this. It was a quote in the book. So what we are to flee is not the proper esteem of the self, but vanity and its companions, which are pride, inordinate self-love. What does that mean? Like self-love that's out of order. Self-obsession and the love of praise. In other words, what we are to shed or get rid of is self-esteem taken in all the wrong directions. Listen to what St. John Climacus says. He says, a vainglorious person is a believing idolater, somebody who worships idols. Okay? A vainglorious person is a believing idol worshiper. He apparently honors God, but he wants to please not God, but men. If you are trying to please men, and you are seeking the praise of men, you are running after the praise of men, chances are that you are vainglorious. Look what St. Isaac the Syrian says. A man who craves esteem cannot be rid of the causes of grief. Pay attention. Look at this sentence and try to understand it. A man who craves esteem cannot be rid of the causes of grief. If you are craving the praise of others and the honor of man, you are going to have all kinds of pain. You know why? Because it could switch in a second. Today you're great, tomorrow you stink. Today you are a great doctor, next day you lost your license. You know, anybody who is seeking all of this like praise and identity, be careful, you will never stop having grief. So I read one of these Desert Fathers. It says, this is when you are not aware of pride. It's when you have a sense of superiority over others. What does that mean? When you think that you're better than others, this is when you have pride. When you think that you are superior to others, this isn't self-esteem because it lacks an honest picture of yourself. Yes, I can act and wear a better mask that shows that I'm better than you, but I have to really know myself and know that I have all kinds of monsters inside. I have all kinds of weaknesses. I've got all kinds of bad habits and stubbornness and what goes on behind closed doors and what goes on behind the closed doors of my heart that no one can see. Not just my wife and my kids. They can't see even the things that are going on in my heart. You can tell you have pride when you can't take criticism. When every time somebody comes to criticize you, you get defensive. You have one of two things. Either low self-esteem, which is not good, or pride, which is not good. If you can't take criticism, it means that you can't just say, yeah, like, I'm good at some things, and you're trying to criticize this. Okay, I can grow. I can improve. I am a stone that God is going to use to sculpt, to make something beautiful. And because of that, he's got to chip away some things. I can accept that. Can you take criticism? I'll tell you, sometimes in confession, people can't take criticism. You're like, you've already confessed. And you still don't want me to criticize. Like, you don't want me to make you better. I just don't want to hear it. No. Like, love yourself in that sense. Know that I have a potential to reach when I let somebody grow me. People around you, God sends people in your life to grow you, to give you a real picture of yourself. Usually it's your spouse. Could be a friend, a coworker, where they're constantly bringing things out of you. Things are, or maybe I need to say, you know, it's okay. It is okay that I'm not good at raising children, okay? Like I get it. None of us, anyone here a pro? Anybody can write a book on raising children? You know, like, every time I talk to a parent, they're like, no, don't ask me. Like we have all kinds of, I'm like, your kid is a great kid. No, Bunny, you don't know what goes on at home. My kids are crazy at home. Okay? That's just how it is. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, we all are growing. Listen to this. When you put someone else down in order to lift yourself up in the eyes of others, when you put someone else down, that is vainglory or pride. Now, all of us know what external pride is. What many of us don't know is what hidden pride is. Like, nobody likes an externally proud, a person that always talks about themselves and brags. Nobody likes those people. But there's also people that have hidden pride. That you have to be able to see within yourself. Hidden pride usually abides in spiritual people. People who are spiritual, who have a relationship with God. Sometimes you do things for the self-satisfaction. I give to the poor, not because I care about this poor person. They could die tomorrow. I really don't care. But when I give them $5, like I act like I saved their lives by giving them, you gave them half of a cheeseburger, okay? $5 is nothing. But inside, I feel good about myself. That's called the hidden pride. The things that you're looking to do to get joy even from yourself. This is where the church fathers tell us what? No, put that person down. The ego needs to be destroyed. That I don't do things to make myself feel good. I don't help this person in need because it makes me feel good. I love to help hopeless people because it makes me feel good. That's called pride. That's not called love. It's when we give and I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear praise from others. I don't want to talk about myself. It's a very, very honest thing. St. Paul says this. He says, esteem others higher than yourself and you will have the mind of Christ. You will be like Jesus when you say everyone is higher than me. So what do I do when I find that this hidden pride is within me? I am the only one that can put that person down. I am the only person that can destroy that ego. Listen to this beautiful saying. He says, what should I do when my ego is wounded, when somebody hurts my pride? The monk says, let it perish. He says, if the ego dies, the soul will resurrect. What should I do when somebody really hurts my feelings and puts me down? It's okay. Let that person die. Let God resurrect the soul inside of you that is full of glory. You've been rejected, it's okay. Let it die. Because God is going to build you into a new person. A better version of yourself. Let that ego die. But Abuna, I hate it when somebody makes me feel bad. You know why? Because you have low self-esteem. You are valuable. Just trust in that. Regardless of what I tell you or what I think of you, you are full of glory because God is in you. Believe in that. Ama Synclectica, one of the desert mothers. So we have desert fathers, but we don't talk about very much are the desert mothers. There are also women who went and lived in the desert by themselves. She said this, when gardeners see that a plant is of small stature and sickly, they water it profusely and care for it greatly so that it will grow and be strong. While when they see in a plant the premature development of sprouts, they immediately trim the useless sprouts so that the plant does not quickly wither. Likewise, physicians give rich nourishment to some patients, prescribing that they walk, while to others they give a strict diet and require them to remain at rest. What is she saying here? She's saying, when you have a plant that is kind of like dying, give it water, like nourish it, and let this person understand their value, that this plant is supposed to be beautiful, so add water to it. But when it's got too many sprouts coming out of it, too many other things weighing it down because of its pride, snip those things. Cut those extra branches. That's what they call pruning. God is a pruner. When there's too many things weighing you down, let God snip those things by self-denial. This is why we need self-care. This is why we need to care for ourselves. A few more things. Just want to mention something about overconfidence. Every single thing that you put in your own trust and lean on your own strength is overconfidence. How many things do you do leaning on your own strength? Oh, I can do it. I'm fine. I can do this. No. What does St. Paul teach us? The man who changed the whole world. He says, I can do all things. Amen. Right? What does he say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. And I can change the whole world. One man could change the whole world through Christ. Be careful of your overconfidence in yourself. Oh, I'm going to build my business. I can raise my kids. I can protect my marriage. I can build myself up. Stop counting on yourself. That overconfidence in yourself is pride. That's not self-esteem. That in Christ, I can do all things. Put me in this challenge and I know I'm good at it. No, not because I'm good at it. Because I know that I have a mighty God that will use me. I have a mighty God that believes in me and has created me to be used by Him. So in self-care, we have to be able to look. What do we say in the Thanksgiving prayer? Those things which are good and profitable, what? We need to care for ourselves physically, but not too much. Be careful when you care too much about the self, when you pamper yourself and you spoil yourself and you give yourself too much. A healthy self-love will lead us to do what is truly best for ourselves, soul and body, such that to care properly for them is the work of heaven. Okay, what is self-care? It means denying yourself what is excess, what is too much food. If you care for yourself, deny yourself too much. You want to know what else is too much? It's possible to have too much money. It is very possible to have too much money because it's dangerous and it's destructive. And because I care for myself and I know that everything around me can destroy me because of it, if I'm going to care for myself so I don't get too proud or so that I don't get deceived by the enemy, I need to be careful. Care for yourself by getting rid of what is excess, what is too much. Also, strictly limiting your pleasures. If you give yourself any pleasure you want, food, makeup, clothes, comfort, the next pleasure that's going to come right after that is lust. I can't stop. I'm addicted to pleasure. So if it's cookies or food, next thing is lust. For sure, you have to starve this animal inside of you. Self-care. That's why the church tells us to fast, because we care about you, because God cares about you, because you care for yourself. If you don't care for yourself, you don't fast. Because you know what? Let myself have, but be careful, you're going to become a monster. And your kids, who you think they're too young, they're going to become monsters too. They're too young to fast. It's too much to ask of them. I'll tell you what's going to be too much to ask of them to stop every other sin that they can't control. That's not care. Be careful. We have to get rid of the excess. Keep in mind that prayer is also self-care. Because your soul inside of you is very thirsty. It longs for God. And so if I care for myself, I need to make sure that the self is healthy through prayer. If you don't pray, chances are you don't care for yourself as much. Silence is self-care. Confession of your sins is self-care. Humility is self-care. Repentance is self-care. I'm teaching you these things to know that if you want to be a healthy, whole person, we want to be whole, not like kind of sick and kind of broken and kind of, you want to be a whole person, a filled person. You need these things. And if you don't have them, you don't care for yourself. And you're going to be kind of out of order. Last thing, second to last thing. It is fitting to love oneself, one's family, God, as well as to enjoy things like food, sexual pleasure, and money. There's nothing wrong with these things. But sin comes when we prioritize these loves in the wrong order. When you have them out of order. It's okay to have money. But like if I don't worship God and honor God and give to God and give to the world and give to the needy, then it's now it's out of priority. It's not in the right priority. Be careful of this. We might likewise say that it can be appropriate to love ourselves and care for ourselves as well as to condemn ourselves and discipline ourselves. It is okay to condemn yourself for doing something wrong. It is okay to bring your body. St. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. I bring my body under control. I have to control myself, lest while winning others, I myself become what? Disqualified. So he says, I need to care about myself first. So I bring myself under control so that as I'm preaching to others and winning others for Christ, I don't want to be the one I lost the whole race. Be careful of that. Last thing, a genuine self-esteem is this. It moves you outside of your vanity or being selfish or being obsessed with yourself and frees you to love God and be loved by Him, to understand that I am worthy of God's love because that's His nature. He created me to love me, to love others and not put them down and be loved by them. That last one is important. To accept love from others. You deserve love because you are made in the image of God. And God is in you. And there is a beauty in you. Accept love. You are not garbage. You deserve a great love. You even deserve a divine love. This is a genuine self-esteem. May the Lord give us this humility to have like proper, like organization and order in my life. God has to be number one. If He's number one, your life is out of whack. If money and relationships and pleasure, God has given us bodies that enjoy pleasure. And He's given us a context in which we can enjoy this pleasure. That's why the church gives us feasting. At the end of Easter, we're going to feast for 50 days. God wants us to enjoy, but in its order. The times when we should be fasting are times for fasting. And the times where we're supposed to be feasting are times for feasting. Balance in our life. That will give you this healthy self-esteem. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.